Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It's coming up on 4:30 here, 60 degrees on this Thursday, April 17th. And it's always a pleasure when I can bring in our United States Senator, Dave McCormick. Dave, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Good, good. So lots of things going on. First of all, and I talked about it when I got the press release from your staff on this resolution on instituting term limits for members of Congress. Can you tell us? It got a lot of thumbs up from listeners and texters during that day when I talked about it.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. You know, this was something I talked a lot about on the campaign and talked about the need to shake up Washington and get fresh blood there. And I said during the campaign that I would term limit myself to 2 terms. And I also said that I'd support legislation that does the same. And this legislation essentially says the maximum service is 12 years in the Senate and 12 years in the Congress, which will be 6 terms of 2 years. And listen, the founders never imagined we'd have people that would go to Washington and spend 30 or 40 years there. They thought that people would have careers as doctors and blacksmiths and farmers and then would take the call to service and then come back home to their careers and lives. So this is the way to ensure that we get fresh blood and new ideas and don't have the swamp overcome people once they get to Washington.
Since dropping this legislation, have you started to get side eyes from your colleagues? What kind of feedback are you getting from your colleagues?
Well, we've been on recess, but I bet when I get back, I wrote this op-ed in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and I said, listen, this is nothing personal. I like my colleagues. I hope they don't take away my membership to the Senate gym, but this is something bigger than any individual person. And, you know, we have a number of people that, I mean, the average age in the Senate is in the late 60s. It's getting older, the same in the House. You know, we need fresh people to come in and who aren't beholden to anybody and who can make the government work on behalf of the people of Pennsylvania and everybody else across the country. So I'm sure I'm not going to be the most popular guy in the Senate caucus, but I think people know that I'm coming at this as someone who wants to get our country back on track.
Well, if polling is any gauge here, you're definitely on the right side of history as far as this. I think the American public, this is something they've asked for a while, which is why you talked about it on the campaign trail. It'll be interesting to see how much support you get from your colleagues, knowing that this is something, a bipartisan issue that the majority of American people would like to see.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see myself. You know, I think there's a number of other things we need to do to really change the culture of Washington. I think we need to limit or restrict the ability of members of Congress to own and trade stocks. I think, you know, it's crazy. Nancy Pelosi has the highest performing portfolio of just about anybody. That doesn't seem sensible. And I think we need to to break up, you know, these bureaucracies and move places like the Department of Energy to Pennsylvania, Department of Interior out west. So I think this is just one of many things we need to do. But I think this is a big one, because it'll change the composition of Congress and get fresh blood in there. And, you know, I learned the hard way. When you're an incumbent, you have all the advantages in the world, and it's very hard to knock off an incumbent. And so this also takes that off the table, because people are mandatorily retired, and that leaves the opportunity for new people to come in and make their case to the people of Pennsylvania and America.
No doubt. And I know as a Pennsylvania U.S. senator, you were one of the first to come out to condemn this attack on Governor Josh Shapiro's mansion, his family, his friends that were there that day. It was an abhorrent attack. We know a little bit more about the suspect, obviously some issues with this suspect, a criminal past, but targeting because of the governor's heritage, his religion, and his views when it comes to world events, this just cannot be tolerated anywhere.
Yeah, you know, as a guy who spent his life in law enforcement, you speak with so much credibility on this, but I couldn't agree more. And listen, you know, you're talking to a guy who was at the Butler rally when President Trump got shot. I had actually talked to Governor Shapiro the afternoon before that evening. He told me he had to run. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, I got to go practice because it's a Seder dinner and I'm orchestrating it. I'm presiding over the 80 people in the governor's mansion. And less than 12 hours later, the arsonist came into his house and threw in two Molotov cocktails and put his family of four children and he and his wife at risk. It is absolutely unacceptable. I think this is a byproduct in part of the way we talk in politics. And this is on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, in demonizing, dehumanizing ways about the opposition. We have to stop that. It contributes to people thinking, well, if someone's evil, then we need to take the next step and get rid of them. And, I wrote an article the next day in support of Governor Shapiro, but also in support of bringing much more reason to politics. And I wrote it not in spite of the fact that Governor Shapiro and I are on different sides, different parties, but because of it. I think this is something that's bigger than politics, and we got to get violence out of politics. And unfortunately, it's getting much worse. And, this was certainly tied to the fact that he was a political figure, also probably tied to his religion. But whatever it was, it was completely unacceptable, and we need to push back as public officials.
No doubt. And you being at Butler and the American public seeing that, how could that happen with some of the most robust security around someone at that time, the Secret Service? And then you see the governor's mansion here in Pennsylvania, where someone was able to scale a fence, break a window, set off two incendiary devices, break another window, scale a fence again, and get away. You know, it really opens the eyes up to these threats are very real. The people out there being influenced by, for whatever reason, be it at their own personal issues, what they're hearing, it really needs to be taken seriously across the spectrum from all sides.
I couldn't agree more, Rob. And I don't know the reasons, but I would say, part of what we have to do in public life is just call balls and strikes. What happened at Butler was an absolute failure of security. It was a failure of all those involved, certainly the Secret Service, deeply flawed in terms of how they handled that. And I would have to say, just knowing what happened, that the same is true with the governor, which is we cannot have our public officials, particularly ones that have such high profiles, in positions where their lives or their families' lives can be so easily put at risk. And so I hope this is a wake-up call, and it's a wake-up call for all of us, both in terms of the nature of how we conduct ourselves in public life, in terms of how we talk about our opponents, but also in the need for care and robust security and measures to protect our public officials. That's one of the things that I think we have a responsibility to do for people who are willing to serve.
No doubt, no doubt. So you hosted the agricultural secretary here in Pennsylvania this past week. I was speaking to some local farmers up by me who were talking about the tariffs. They were beef farmers talking about, how life has been for them as farmers. Tell us a little bit about your meeting with the agricultural secretary in our area.
Well, I was honored to host her and be part of that. I was with others in the delegation. So G.T. Thompson, our chairman of the Ag Committee in the House, Dan Muser, Rob Bresnahan, who I think is your congressman, and Lloyd Smucker. So we have a great ag-focused delegation. And my counterpart in the Senate, John Fetterman, was on the Ag Committee and a very strong supporter of ag. So we've got strong support. And listen, this was a great opportunity, and I really respected the way she did this, for the Secretary Brooke Rollins to mostly listen. She was listening to the issues, making sure she understood. And of course, tariffs were part of the question that was raised, really in two ways. One of the things that's true across the global economy is that our ag products are blocked. Our beef can't get into Japan because of non-tariff barriers. Our milk can't get into Canada. The milk dairy industry is the number one ag industry in Pennsylvania in terms of size. It can't get into Canada. So part of reducing the unfair trade practices is opening up new markets for our ag products. But it's also true that our farmers in particular are worried about the uncertainty that's being caused by the rollout of the tariffs. And they want clarity. And so we talked about that a bit. We're all hopeful. I'm particularly hopeful, and I think the secretary is as well, that President Trump will roll out soon, maybe in the next few days and next few weeks, a couple deals, perhaps with Japan, South Korea, and other countries that show what the template is for these new agreements, and ultimately I think that'll give people more confidence. The other thing I said to the farmers is, it's true. There's uncertainty around the tariffs, and the president said that's going to be a little bumpy. I hope we can give him some time to implement his plan, but there's also a lot of certainty. There's certainty about deregulation, which is a big deal for our farmers. There's certainty around energy dominance, which is going to lower energy prices for our farmers and really helps our farmers, particularly those with natural gas wells on the farms. There's going to be an extension, I believe, of the tax cuts, maybe made permanent. That's great for farmers, particularly the inheritance tax, which to pass on these family farms is really critical. And finally, there's lots of new investment coming to Pennsylvania and the country. So while there's uncertainty around the tariffs, there's a lot of good news that should be wind at the back for our companies and for our farmers. And so, listen, we're committed to listening. And the secretary also said that if certain farm ag industries, certain crops are significantly affected by the tariffs, then there's ways that we can potentially help mitigate that risk with farm programs. So it was a great session, but a lot of listening, which I really respected.
And just on a closing note, I saw you were sitting on the committee that was vetting Mr. Fogel, nominee for Assistant Secretary of Commerce. A really great conversation there about small business and how they deserve a fair playing field. You want to tell us a little bit about that before we go?
Well, listen, when you're the senator from Pennsylvania, I think the starting point is recognizing that, one of our challenges is we need to create a much more dynamic economy that's keeping our young people here, growing opportunity, and, the American dream for everybody. And small businesses are the key. 80% of the jobs are created by small businesses. So we need to be business friendly. We need to make sure they have access to capital, which is one of the things I'm focused on the banking committee. We need to make sure that they're not overregulated. It's easier for big companies to deal with too much regulation than small. So the deregulation is really going to help them. And I'm spending a lot of time with businesses across Pennsylvania. I had a roundtable earlier this week. I had a roundtable last Friday just to make sure I know the issues, even beyond tariffs. So I can be a strong advocate for them. And my position on the banking committee, the energy committee in particular, are great places where I can hopefully make a difference for small businesses in Pennsylvania.
Great, great work going on there. And a little feedback from my farmer, who's a 400-head beef farmer. My neighbor, I was having coffee with him the other day, and he was talking about, he usually gets the plastic that he wraps his hay bales in. That comes from China. So the cost on that has gone up a little bit. But he said that what they're seeing with the beef market as far as where they're going, it's in a much positive direction, and he likes the direction as a whole of what's going on. So there is some give and take, but just some local feedback from my neighbor, who's raising 400 head of cattle, that he likes the direction it's going in.
Yeah, that's good news. I think most Americans agree that we need to have fair trade, and that the American businesses, the American consumer, but the American businesses in particular have been taken advantage of for too long. America's been taken advantage of. So that's what this is designed to do, to make the playing field fair. If the playing field is fair, American workers, American companies, American farmers are going to do just fine. And if they do fine, the economy is going to do fine. If the economy does fine, the stock market's going to do fine. So this is about getting to basics on fairness. And I think the president's on a good path here. We just need to give him a little time. And I hope he comes out quickly with a path ahead.
Again, we're talking to Senator Dave McCormick, Pennsylvania U.S. Senator. Senator, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show and giving us an update of what's going on.
Great to be with you. Thanks always for having me.
No problem. Thank you.